the word through teaching. And that's what we want to concentrate on today, to show that the Bible does teach indirect influence, not direct influence. Brethren used to know this, but in the last 50 years, there has been a departure along several lines, and this has been one of those. So today, here's what we want to do. We want to look at 10 propositions from a debate that occurred in 1876. T.W. Brents, who wrote the classic book, The Gospel Plan of Salvation, debated several times, and one of those debates was with T.C. Frog in 1876. So this has been a while. But the points are still valid. The proposition of the debate was this: the scriptures teach that in conversion and in sanctification, the Holy Spirit operates on persons only through the word of truth. So we want to very quickly look at the 10 of the propositions. There were actually more, but 10 of the arguments that Brents made in the debate. He began by saying that we cannot taste the Spirit, nor smell him, nor feel him. In other words, he is not tangible, as we've already mentioned this morning. We have no communication from the Spirit, no nudgings, no urgings, no inward voices. He communicates to us through the medium of words. When God did inspire men, he directly influenced them. You may recall that David said in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2, that his word was in my mouth and on my tongue. God did directly inspire those who wrote the scriptures. But he is not directly inspiring anyone today, and we'll look at that more as we go along. Now, this argument seems fairly obvious, that the Spirit is not tangible and so forth. So therefore, you cannot believe the reply that Frog gave to this argument. He went to Psalm 34 and verse 8, which says this: "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." See, you can taste the Lord, Frog argued. But anybody who can read and understand that passage knows that the psalmist is not inviting somebody to chomp down on the Lord and give him a taste. How would they have literally done that? Obviously, this is a metaphor for following the Lord and seeing if he is not true to his word. That's how most people understand it, because that's what it means. Tom Waycaster, in his work on Psalms, says the writer is inviting his audience to prove that the righteous life is the best life. God has no physical form, so they could not literally taste him or touch him. They could prove through experience that what he said was true. Now, reading the psalm, this is what most people are going to conclude, but sometimes in a debate, people get desperate and make foolish arguments, which is what Frog did. Let's go to the second and third arguments. These are interrelated, so I'm putting them together. Brents claimed that two-thirds of the human race was in darkness, and so he thus posed the following question. Now, if the Holy Spirit operates here, that is, in conversion, where the Bible is without the word, why not there? If the Holy Spirit operates in this country where we have the Bible, why does he not operate in countries that don't have the Bible? Why not there? And so he insisted that his opponent provide one single instance in which one man has been converted by the Holy Spirit without the means of the Word. Now, we already read in our scripture reading this morning, Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17, that tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It does not say that faith comes directly from God by the Holy Spirit, or that we automatically have it implanted in our brain somewhere. No, it comes through the Word, through teaching. His opponent could not produce even one person that had ever been converted without the Word. But if the Holy Spirit is involved in directly in conversion, why aren't there people? Why aren't there hundreds and thousands of people? Why can he not find even one person who, when we went over to a country where we had never gone before, why could not even one person be found that said, hey, listen up, the Holy Spirit was here before you got here, and he told me what I needed to do to be saved. Why can't we find that person? Because the Holy Spirit is not converting people directly, but through preaching. In fact, the Bible teaches the opposite of that, as we noted in Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Frog could not supply the name of even one person in the entire world who ever was converted by the Holy Spirit apart from the Word. And not only could he not do that, no one has ever been able to produce that person. No one knows about Christ until someone takes the Word to that nation or that country or that region and begins to preach the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is not converting people directly. Now, the fourth argument: the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and they preached to lost men, as we read in 1 Corinthians 1:21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save men. It did not please God to save men by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. We simply do not find that done anywhere in the Scriptures, nor, as we've already pointed out, has anybody ever found an example of that occurring anywhere in the world at any time. God gave the mission and the message to the apostles in what we call the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. And they preached it to others by the authority of Christ. He began that conversation by saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It was one of the reasons that the apostles were actually baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be able to repeat what Jesus had taught them and to guide them into all truth. John 14, 26 and John 16, verses 12 and 13. So the apostles were inspired of the Holy Spirit and they preached the Word and people were converted. The next argument, number 5. We are born again by the Word of God. Notice, not directly from the Holy Spirit, but by the Word of God. Let's very quickly read a few passages of Scripture in that regard. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Having been born again, you remember the conversation Jesus had with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where he told him you must be born again. Here, Peter refers to it. Having been born again. How? By a direct operation of the Holy Spirit? No. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Let's do James 1:18 next, just back up a couple pages. James 1:18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so that agrees in total with the passage in 1 Peter 1. Then, now let's back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And so people are saved not directly by the Holy Spirit, but through the gospel, through the preaching of the gospel. Argument number 6 is somewhat related. This is the parable of the seed. The seed is able to produce 60, 30, 100-fold more Christians. But what is that seed? What kind of seed could produce a crop like this, 30, 60, 100-fold? Luke 8:11 very succinctly states, the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Seventh argument. If men can be saved by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit, why was Paul sent to turn men from darkness to light? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 26 and read how Paul put that in those verses. Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 15. So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will reveal to you." The apostles were witnesses. They had seen Jesus after his resurrection. It is after his resurrection that Jesus makes this appearance to Paul. So he will not be behind any of the other apostles who had also seen him after his resurrection. I mention that because the word witness is used in a non-biblical sense by so many people. But in the Bible, they were witnesses because they actually were witnesses. They actually saw the resurrected Christ. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Now, why didn't Jesus just tell the Holy Spirit to go and convert them directly? Because he uses the foolishness of preaching to save men. And that is why Paul was sent, to open their eyes, to give them the gospel, to allow them to have the choice to become a Christian. Eighth argument, the gospel is called the power of God unto salvation, not a power Let's consider Romans chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation. Notice that. The power of God unto salvation. Not a power. Some are converted by the gospel and some the Holy Spirit just convert directly. No. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. For as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But again, Paul says later in the letter, doesn't he, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ninth argument. Everyone who was converted in the New Testament, it came about as a result of the preaching of the word. When they asked what they should do, Peter on the day of Pentecost said, repent and be baptized. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And we find in verse 41 that as many as believed his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So the word was preached, and the word was responded to. Peter didn't say, oh, just let the Holy Spirit convert you. No, he gave them words by which they were saved. When Philip went to Samaria, what happened up there? He didn't get up there and find out, oh, the Holy Spirit's already been in and converted these people. No. They were converted as a result of his message. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And then, of course, they responded to the message. The same thing is said of Philip just a little bit later in the same chapter in verse 35 as he is talking to the queen's treasurer. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Preached Jesus. He preached Christ in verse 5 to the Samaritans. Preached Jesus, same thing, to the queen's treasurer here in verse 35. And what is said about Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus, Saul of Tarsus. Wasn't he converted on the road to Damascus? Yeah, was he? Well, let's take a look at Acts chapter 9 and verses 3 through 6. Let's see what it says. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from heaven. Ah, that's right. Light shone from heaven. Saul was saved. Well, no, I didn't quite say that. A light shone from heaven. Let's keep going. And then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then the Lord said to him, well, just stay right where you are and you'll be saved. No, that's not what the Lord said, is it? The Lord said, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Well, doesn't say he was saved there, does it? He was told to go into the city, and it would be told him when he got into the city what he must do. Well, let's pick that up a little bit later on In Acts 22:16, a man named Ananias comes to him now that he is in the city. We have no information that anyone else has talked to Saul, but Ananias comes in and talks to him and says to him in verse 16, "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He needed to do certain things once he got into the city, and he was told what he should do. He was told that he needed to be baptized. Had he been saved previously on the road to Damascus when the light shone around him? No, because he still had his sins. He's told to wash away his sins. You don't still have sins if you've been saved. They've been taken care of by the blood of Christ. They've been washed away. His had not. So even though he had prayed and fasted and repented for 3 days, he still was in his sins. And he was also in the city. And Ananias came to him to tell him what he must do. And what he must do was arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. He was also told what to do by a man, realize, by the foolishness of preaching. And so this is what we find in every case of conversion in the New Testament. The household of Cornelius. Somebody says, "I know about that one. The Holy Spirit fell on them and they were saved." They were saved by the Holy Spirit falling on them? What gave you that idea? Is there a scripture that makes you think that? There isn't one in there. But here's what it does say in Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. Acts chapter 11 and verse 14. They were to send for Simon Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. The Holy Spirit falling on them was for another purpose, to show the Jews that Gentiles were acceptable to God. They were not saved by the Holy Spirit coming upon them. That was so that the Jews would recognize they were worthy to hear and obey the gospel. Once that happened, Peter said, "Can any man forbid water who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we?" God was not excluding the Gentiles from salvation. He was including them in salvation. But it was through words that they were saved. The Holy Spirit didn't say, "I'm going to save them." Well, then there wouldn't have been any need for Peter to be there, would there? If the Holy Spirit was going to save them without words, then why did Peter go? And why does the inspired text say that they were saved by words? An angel, by the way, had already appeared to Cornelius and to Peter. But Cornelius was not saved by the angel. He sent for a man who would tell him words whereby he would be saved. Now, Brent's lists some of the others in conversions in Acts, but these are enough to illustrate the point. Let's go on to the last argument, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. If the Word of God thoroughly furnishes us, what else does a person need? If the Word of God thoroughly furnishes us, what else is needed? And we even read that in the Old Testament in Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord converts the soul. Now, this was not part of the discussion in the debate, but I wanted to mention that also if the Holy Spirit is not used in connection with our salvation, that is, he does not convert people directly but through the Word, what about after we become a Christian? Does the Holy Spirit suddenly come upon us and cause us to do things and nudge us and lead us and all of that? No, the same thing is still true. He still operates through the Word. Otherwise, the New Testament could have ended with the book of Acts. And the writer at the end of the book of Acts could have simply said, now, once you're baptized, the Holy Spirit's going to take over and do everything directly, so we don't need to write anything else in the New Testament. No, that's not the way it went, however. We do have more writings, and there is a reason for the additional writings, because the Holy Spirit does not lead us directly after we become a Christian either. We still operate, he still operates through the Word. Well, let's take a look at this. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. The Word does this. The Holy Spirit does not indirectly empower us and build us up. We have to get that through the teaching of the Word, inspired of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said of his apostles, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. That's how we come to know the truth, because it's been revealed. And because God has given us minds to read it and study it. Let's go to James chapter 1 and verse 17 and notice what James wrote in this regard. Now remember, James is writing to Christians. He's writing to brethren here. And he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, we already noticed that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, sometimes we use that in connection with non-Christians, and it is true that the word will save their souls, as we've seen through all the examples. But this is written to Christians. The implanted word is able to save your souls. You still need the word to know God's will and to practice it. The Holy Spirit does not save anyone directly without or apart from the word. He is not tangible and does not nudge us in various directions, despite even the claims of some Christians that he does so. It pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save men through the message. We are born again by the word, by the seed. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, to turn men from darkness to light. No one has ever been saved directly by the Holy Spirit. And all the examples in the New Testament involve words. The scriptures make us wise unto salvation. And that's 2 Timothy 3:15, found right before verse 16 that says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And they are what make us wise unto salvation. We need to follow the scriptures in order to enter into heaven. And there's a lot of things. This is a very busy chart. But a couple of points. The big X, it is not by faith only. It is not by the Holy Spirit apart from His Word. And one must have the blood applied, and it's only applied when one is baptized. There's a connection there between Acts 22:16 and Revelation 1:5, which says that He washed us from our sins in His own blood. We are washed from our sins when we arise and are baptized into Christ. Hopefully, these things have been helpful in showing what the Holy Spirit does and how He does it through His Word. This morning, if there's one who has never obeyed the gospel and you know what you ought to do, we invite you to respond now. If you need more time and don't have a perfect understanding yet, then please do that as soon as you can. We'll be glad to talk with you further and study with you further about what the Word of God teaches. If you are already a Christian but have not been living faithfully, we invite you to repent and come back to your first love. If we can help you in any of these things, let us know while we stand and while we sing.